Thank you, Mr. Randall. Good to see you all. Well, as we approach Passover, we look inwards, do a bit of self-examination, and see if there's anything we need to change. And we know from Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, who can know it? So if the heart is deceitful, how do we look at ourselves? You know, is it maybe something that we miss in our self-examination? This message is entitled Discerning the Heart. And there's a certain scripture I've seen for a while, and I'm going to start off with this scripture. It's been part of my journey of self-discovery in this Passover preparation, of seeing my heart. Kind of, I've been getting little signals here and there that there's something I'm missing and something I can't see, and I don't know what it is. So I've been trying to find what that is. And this one scripture kind of resonated with me, and I didn't fully understand it. So I've been struggling with thoughts of judgment and condemnation of other people. And I don't know if it might be evident to you, but I'm kind of seeing some things that I needed to change. I'm shining some light on this bit of darkness in my heart, and I'm having some awareness of my blind spot. So I share this with you, I'm not saying you might learn from it because you have the same issues, but the process of looking at this can be insightful. Let's start with that scripture. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans 2 and verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do the same things. And I saw little red flags in my life where I would be, you know, a little bit judgmental of others, but I was guilty of the same thing. So this scripture kind of resonated with me. So why would someone judge someone else when they're doing the same thing? Either it's a blind spot for them, and it was for me, or they're just kind of a nasty person, right? And either way, it's not a really nice place to be. It's good to be able to see, you know, if you are judging others, you're good to see that, you know, what your own issues are. No one wakes up thinking, I'm going to be nasty today. Let's see who I can condemn. But either way, you know, whether you do it because you're wanting to be nasty or whether you just don't know you're doing it, it's kind of, is a little bit hypocritical if you do. So in the study of behavior, how people relate to each other, psychologists call this projection. And they say where someone has unresolved problems in themselves, instead of dealing with it, they project them on other people. And sometimes it can happen from childhood trauma, right? You have a situation in your childhood that you've created some false beliefs in your thinking, And you carry that into your adulthood, and that's just the way you are until you see what's going on. So there are other scriptures. There's quite a few scriptures on this topic. Let's go to Matthew 7 on this topic of judgment. Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you judge others, it shall be measured to you. So why behold you the speck that's in your brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that's in your own eye? Right? So this is this classic projection where you're trying to fix someone else's problems, but you've got a bigger problem yourself. And, you know, when it's in your eye, it's hard to actually help someone else with your own problem. In verse 4, how will you say to your brother, let me pull out that speck in your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own. So it's quite an image, isn't it? You know, someone trying to get a speck out of someone's eye and they've got something bigger in their own. So these two scriptures, Romans 2 and this Matthew 7, talks about don't judge, right? First words in Matthew 7, judge not. Now I'd like to contrast that. We'll park those scriptures to the side and we'll look at some scriptures that say the opposite, that judgment is a good thing. And then we'll compare the two and get some understanding with that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. And this is dealing with brother versus brother in the church. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Verse 3, know ye not that you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? So here it's saying, you know, exercising judgment is a good thing. Let's go to 1 Kings. We'll go to an Old Testament example. 1 Kings and verse 3. This is a story of Solomon where God is asking Solomon, what can I do for you? What are your needs? What would you like to ask for? 1 Kings 3 and verse 5 through to verse 11. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown unto your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And you have kept him this great kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go in or come out. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, right? Solomon's asking for judgment, being able to judge, and God is happy with him. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment Behold, I have done according to your words. Wow. So we've got these two contrasts, don't judge, and now we're seeing that judgment is a kind of a good thing to have. So let's have a look at that. So in Romans 2, the first word in that verse is therefore. And so it's referring back to the previous chapter. And there's some horrible stuff in Romans 1. Let's just kind of break in verse 30. Romans 1, verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And then it says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you that judge, for therein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you do those things. So those people that really do bad things shouldn't be judging someone else. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? So the message in Romans 2 is to not be hypocritical. And yeah, that's something I've had to learn, you know, in myself, you know, get my heart right. You've got to have that pure heart and have good behavior before you can be judging others. So what are some of the things we can learn from this? I've got 4 points. One, we need discernment to judge. So, and that's what Solomon asked for, discernment for justice. In fact, it's necessary for us to determine good from evil. But trying to judge without discernment is exercising power without ability. You kind of need discernment first. And that can be a problem for those people that work with people's behaviors, you know, like therapists or like we do in foster care. You become very aware of other people's issues. You have discernment, but then what you do with it can be a problem, which we'll talk about later. Number two is when it is judging others, it's best to have authority appointed to you to do so. Right? King David had a role as the king, right? It was kind of that position of authority, and he was asking for that wisdom to judge. So he had a role to do that. It's unwise to jump in to judge others or to fix them without their invitation. And in the past, I've had that problem. It's kind of embarrassing to think about that. Three, it's how you judge. The first two scriptures indicate those who are guilty, unrepentant, who are blinded by their own issues are not really in the place to judge others. And for judging also involves justice. As King David, you know, asked for himself, understanding to discern justice. You know, what is the truth or what is right and wrong. So I'd like to just look at this spectrum of justice from a negative viewpoint through to a positive viewpoint, and I've got like a graph or a chart, if you'd like. There's 7 categories. If you want to draw a box on your page or divide your page into 7, in the middle is neutral. This is where there's no discernment, and on your left side will be the negative side of judgment. And there'll be 3 headings there. And on the right side will be the positive side of judgment. And this is where we need to be. And I can see a lot of red flags in my life on that negative side. So let's start in the middle. In the middle is where you don't have discernment. You're neither good nor bad with judging. You just don't have any opinions. You don't have any idea what's right or wrong. And that's not a good place to be because, you know, you could be swayed one way or the other depending on, you know, what's happening in society. You really need to know what's right and wrong, and you need discernment. Sometimes we can be in this category if we make excuses. You know, I don't want to take sides. You know, kind of like maybe a people pleaser, right? I don't want to upset anyone by taking your side or their side. And this can happen if you don't study the Bible enough, because we need the Bible to help us work out what is right and wrong. And also in this neutral area, we have the coexist camp. It's like, accept everyone where they're at, good and evil. And there's scriptures to, you know, say that we should, you know, be to the Roman like a Roman, be to the Jew like a Jew. To understand, but coexist is this neutral area where you're not really identifying what is right or wrong, where you have no judgment. I'm not going to make a decision on that. So let's go to the negative spectrum, one step, and the step each side of neutral with no discernment is to have discernment. But on the negative side, we've got discernment based on worldly standards with yourself as the authority, right? You, the world's knowledge, the world's wisdom allows you to discern people and situations according to the world's values. And if we go to the right, to the positive, we've got discernment given by God, what God says is discerning. And that's what Solomon asked for. Lord, show me what I need to discern and to discern justice. And that's our source of discernment, is from God. The Word is our authority. That's that first positive step from neutral to the right. Further to the negative side, so you've got discernment, and the next step is judgment. Right, and that's where the world's judgment can really go off the rails, where judgment can be biased, right? Where we judge one person one way and another person differently, right? The Bible talks about favoring the rich and oppressing the poor. That is not good. You know, God's law is for everyone, not just for those with power or wealth or whatever their race or whatever it is. So that's where judgment can come undone with biasness. And James talks about this. Let's see if I can find this. It's not in my notes, but James 2 and verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So we don't want to be respecter of people because of, and James 2 verse 1 talks about having respect of persons. Verse 2, if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in horrible clothes, you have respect to those that are in good clothing, right? That's being biased. We don't want to have a bad judgment. And remember when King David was selected? Right, he was rejected by his family. It was the tall brother, right, the eldest, the warrior, the tall guy with muscles. No, not him. Next one. No. Well, do you have any more sons? Oh, yes. Well, there's David. He's just the sheep herder, right? But God was guiding the prophet to select the man after his heart, right? It's the heart. And this was where it's so important for us to look at our heart and to be pure of heart. And these areas of judgment, how we can judge, determine our heart. So we've talked about being biased. And the next thing in that poor judgment is judging others, right? And we've looked at that in Matthew 7, right? Where we're judging others and forming judgment of others before we judge ourselves. Whereas on the righteous end of judgment, right, we've gone from neutral to discerning. Discernment given by God and righteous judgment is where we look at ourselves first. And this is what the Passover season is about. It's self-examination. It's not about looking at others and no, it's about what's in my heart and really looking, you know, really looking at what's going on. So on the negative side in that unrighteous judgment, we've got judging others first and being hypocritical. We've covered in Romans 2 verse 1, being hypocritical is don't do as I do as I say, or you're bad and I'm not going to look at my stuff. Right, you're judging someone else even though you have that problem. The other thing with judgment, and we see these stories in the Old Testament, Isaiah 58, what fast is this that we have, that we stop oppressing others? And Christ had a lot to say about the Pharisees creating burdens for people. So with our judgments, we can cause oppression for others, and that's not good for a nation or for a people or for a family. Our judgments should not be designed to be oppressive. Let's go to James 4. James 4 and verses 11 and 12. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you that judge another? Right, so we've got to be very careful in our judgments, and we can really step over the line in judging our brothers. In Isaiah 59, this whole chapter has a lot to say about poor judgment, but we'll just look at verse 11 to 15. Isaiah 59, verse 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. And we'll go to verse 15, verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Verse 15, yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it and was displeased with him. There was no judgment. Right, and we see that in today's judicial system where people can loot and burn a city and go before a judge and receive no sentence. And it's like, how does that happen? And in this day and age, these verses really ring true. They really ring and resonate with what's happening in society now. So on the other spectrum, on the righteous judgment, let's go to John 5 and verse 30. John 5. John 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. This is Christ speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Right, and that's got to be our mantra, right? We have Christ living in us, and the Father gives us the Word, and the Word is our guidebook for how we discern good and evil and how we should judge. Right, it's not our own mission to go and judge people. It's God's giving us a personal mission, right, for ourselves. And sometimes we have to relate to other people, whether it's our job, right? And the boss says, I'd like you to work Friday night, right? Your discernment says, no, I got to keep the fourth commandment. That's wrong to do that. No, I'm making that judgment that it's not right for me to do that. Right? Can you see how that works? Now you're relating to someone else and you're saying to your boss, no, I can't work that Friday night. And as parents, you know, as we raise our kids, we have that role also, what is right and wrong in this situation. It might take some wisdom, right? We might need that wisdom to flow through us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So here we're directed to the time of judgment, right? At the end of the age, Christ is going to judge our lives and determine whether we're are we a sheep or are we a goat, right? There is a judgment that's coming. And who are we now to categorize people as sheep and goats, right? We're in a state of progress. Where am I now, right? And here it says Christ makes manifest the counsels of the heart, right? What's in my heart? And here we're getting a clue as to how we can see our heart. We need some help. So we've gone from neutral to discernment to judgment, but then So yes, you've made judgment, but then what do you do with that, right? And that's the final step on each end of the spectrum. On the negative end, we've got condemnation, right? You're bad and I'm condemning you for it. It's being unforgiving, vengeful, slanderous, right? It's telling everyone else about someone. It's negative. And in that judgmental mind, we go to that negative focus on what's negative in people. And this results in strife. Let's go to James 3. James 3, verse 13 to 16. Who is a wise and endued with knowledge among you, right? We're talking about those with discernment and wisdom in this world. Let him show out of a good conduct his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So that bad judgment, that unrighteous judgment, ends up in strife. It's not good. On the other end of the spectrum, right, on the right end, the positive end, the righteous end of judgment, after judgment, is what we do with that. We show mercy, compassion. Maybe we see some underlying issues that person never had control over, right? Hurt people. They're hurting me, but maybe they've been hurt in their past. Maybe they've got some trauma in their life that I don't know about. We're less likely to pass judgment because we know that's Christ's role, right? Christ is the one who determines whether we're sheep or goats. We're less likely to make that determination. And Ezekiel 18, verse 21, it talks about even the sinner at the end of their life, if they repent and change, they're counted as righteous. Right, so if the sinner can be counted as righteous at the end of their lives, who am I to judge them at this point? And also, if someone repents, they've gone to Passover, had that cleansing, accepted Christ's sacrifice, then that's the past. What you knew of that person was the past. And I love how God forgets our sins, right? When we go to God and repent, he removes from us our sins that, like they never existed. And that's how we should be with other people. We exercise forgiveness as opposed to revenge. There's no condemnations to those who pursue Christ. Let's go to Romans 8, Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right, and that's us, right? There's no condemnation. We are pursuing Christ, right? We're examining ourselves and we're moving on. We're moving on to that cleansing and that good discernment, good judgment, and moving on. So we've looked at that spectrum of bad judgment, good judgment, and we know we need to be on the right side of the ledger, the right side of the spectrum. But how do we know? where we are on that spectrum. If our hearts deceive us and we're on the bad end and think we're doing a great job and think we're on the right end, right? I'm good, but I'm practicing this bad stuff, right? How would you know you are? If the heart is deceitful above all things. So in that spectrum to the negative side, we've got a number of words and they're triggers, they're red flags. If any of that synergizes with you, then possibly you might be in need of some work there. But let's go to Jeremiah 17 where that question is asked. And this is the core of our self-examination. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Right? It's how can you know where you are at if you're deceiving yourself? If you've got blind spots in your heart? And here's the answer in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Right? So God knows. That's the answer to a deceptive heart. And I take great pleasure in reading Psalm 139. Let's go there to close. Psalm 139, the last two verses, verses 23 and verse 24. And this is so applicable to our Passover journey. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Right? So it's not only the heart, it's the thoughts. It's the subconscious. It's those false beliefs that we hold on to and we think are true. We live our lives by these old ways of thinking and false beliefs that are embedded. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the recipe for discerning your heart. And brethren, I wish you all the best as we approach Passover, that it's an enriching time for you. It certainly has been for me. I hope you've gained something from this message.